Welcome to the Empowerment Zone with Ramona Houston, where we zone in on Black and Brown relations and our journey to empowering our communities.
Thank you for joining the Empowerment Zone. I am your host, Ramona Houston. Today we have Giovanni Gonzalez. He was born in Colombia and he lived in Belize and he currently resides in Atlanta, Georgia. Giovanni is founder and chief executive officer of Mindful Performance Blueprint, MPB for short, and he's creator of the Access Within Leadership Program, which is a three-day leadership retreat. MPB is a boutique consulting company committed to elevating the performance of individuals and organizations through the transformation of culture, leadership development, and the implementation of strategic leadership initiatives. And Giovanni is also an author. He has written his own book, La Mente de un Inmigrante, which is The Mind of an Immigrant, which was published in 2011. And he's also a subject matter expert. He's frequently seen on Univision's Conexión as a guest speaker. And so today, Giovanni is going to talk to us about how to elevate the standards of your team and create a high-performing environment in your organization. Welcome, Giovanni.
Thank you, Ramona, for having me. I am really excited and honored to be part of your podcast.
Well, I'm glad to have you. So give our audience a little bit about your background. Tell us about yourself and who you are and what you're passionate about and what you do.
Yes. Like you mentioned, I'm originally from Colombia. And I grew up, that was my formative years. And I also lived in Belize for a while. So that was a big transition in culture itself. The Hispanic culture, or at least the culture from Colombia, has a particular way with music and food. And I lived in Bogota, which is cold for the most part of the year, at least back then. And then I moved to Belize right before my teenage years, where I did a little bit of my middle school and my high school. And that was a completely different culture. Belize is predominantly African. And so, and Bogota is mostly Hispanics. Colombians are mostly in the same culture. The food changed, the weather changed, the language changed. You know, in Belize, they speak English for sure, but the culture really embraces Creole, Belizean Creole. So I learned to speak Creole. And that was a huge blessing for me. And I finished my high school there, and then I moved to the U.S. Almost now, actually 20 years ago. And my first job was to sell newspapers at traffic lights, and then I moved into construction, and then I moved into the restaurant, and then I was a driver. And then something really, really powerful happens in the U.S. that I didn't feel that wave when I lived in Colombia then, it's not now, or in Belize, which is this empowerment, self-development, entrepreneur spirit, right? And so I got hooked on that whole world around it, and that gave me access to go to school and you know, just kind of break up my limitations, my own fears. And I went to, locally, I went to Kennesaw State University, and my degree is in international affairs with a concentration in international business. And then later on, I did a master's in the science of management and leadership through Strayer University. And that gave me access to, in some degree, the world, where I had a chance to travel and work for companies who their main focus is on human development. So I had a chance to work in Africa. I had a chance to work in South America with the government of Colombia. I also did some work with the police force over there. And then I've done some non-governmental work in Haiti. And also I've done some work in the U.S. with Fortune 500 companies like MetLife, back then SunTrust, and then with local companies also in the 7 figures, 10 figures, and also with small business owners now with my leadership course. And so it's my passion to really elevate businesses to the next level. But the only way to elevate businesses to the next level is by elevating the entrepreneur, elevating the mind of the entrepreneur, the way they see things, the way they perceive things, their emotional intelligence. But there is no real breakthrough until a person embraces the opportunity of teams. Mm-hmm. So I've become passionate about teams and really supporting people in allowing themselves to be part of a community and creating a community for themselves, so that when they have a team, then their voices and what they're passionate about now, they just exponentially expand. And it's different when I'm doing the show. I'm running the show myself, where yes, there is a lot of there's a lot of things you get done, but not at the level of team. So my passion became supporting people in their leadership capabilities and leadership skills.
So when you talk about your experience within corporate America and traveling all over the world and working with different peoples and different cultures, how did you transition to become a business owner? What was the thing that moved you into entrepreneurship versus being in corporate America?
Yes, entrepreneurship has always been kind of like in the back of my mind, given that when I was going through college, I had three jobs so I could go to college, right? So I was working Sunday through Sunday, right? I had like afternoons off, but never a day off. And working did not really provide stability. So I read the book from Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Mm-hmm. And that really made sense on why I was not winning the game of having more money. That totally makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I started embracing the opportunity of marketing, like helping businesses make money. And so I started helping different companies and making more money, and I would get a commission out of it. And that really supported the next level in my life, because now I didn't have to have three jobs. Now I could just scale businesses and help them make money, and then I would get a commission. Everybody was happy. And my time no longer was used to make money. It was more used to go to school or used to understand the intricacies of marketing, rather than spending all the time trading hours for money. But then I had this accident. I had a skydiving accident, and the businesses, and it was in 2008. And so the businesses that I was supporting were in the construction industry, and so in marketing. So they had a big hit in 2008. And then I had a skydiving accident. That didn't help. So then I started depleting all my money. So I went into corporate. But I always loved the background of entrepreneurship. But corporate was a beautiful window for me, because they do give you a paycheck. They give you a paycheck, whether you work or not, whether you're in a good mood or not, whether you have customers or not, right? And so, however, I learned something really powerful, and it's the structures of corporate. As an entrepreneur, I didn't have that many structures. I had passion, I had willpower, I had, you know, negotiation skills, but I didn't have structure. And it was structure that actually led for me to run out of business, to be out of business. It was my lack of structure. When I went to corporate, everything is structure. Even the way you speak is structure. It's actually too much in my way of looking at things, right? However, it was a big contribution to my life, given that I didn't have one. And so I stayed in corporate America for maybe 3 or 4 years. Then I went to work as a consultant to support corporations. And then I embraced the opportunity of corporate America and corporations and who they are for people. So there's a lot of different conversations inside of an organization like corporations that don't help the individual. But there's also a lot of conversations and structural conversations that are all about supporting the individual. So my life became about supporting organizations, supporting teams, so that they do have the knowledge, but also like the context that supports the individual that works for an organization, and they find their self-expression. They actually find their voice in what they do rather than just surviving their work, which is what most people are doing. They're surviving their work. They're 9 to 5, 9 to 6, but they're really praying for Friday, you know? They're just like, and then Sunday, it's like a burden, like, oh, I gotta go back. But there's actually a way to embrace what you do, meaning what the company does, where it becomes the mission of the company. And everybody embraces the mission so that they feel they're part of something. And when people feel that they're part of something, they're no longer working. And that's the passion of mine, and supporting organizations to get to that level.
You know, that's a good point, you know, that you want to have a team who actually believes in their work and really buys into the mission of the organization. And, you know, here at the Empowerment Zone, we're all about how to build institutions and organizations that serve humanity and empower humanity. So can you tell us a little bit more about MPB and your work and your contribution in terms of helping to build teams and helping people, helping organizations to build up people so that people will want to come to work versus people who, like you said, are just surviving day to day and just praying for Friday and hating when it comes around time for Monday. So could you talk a little bit about your work and your contribution in that effort?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that I have found out, right, and I have discovered for myself is that if it's a small business or if it's a corporation, there is a clear gap between the purpose of the individual and getting the results. Mm-hmm. So usually the person accountable, a manager, a leader, is constantly listening for results. How do I get results? How do I get results? And so when they think of talent development, when they think of developing people, it's more like, this is what I have to do, otherwise I get into trouble, rather than it's a clear connection between talent development and results. And so what I support people in discovering for themselves, and I mean that discovering for themselves, what I support people is in seeing that the results that they're after, that they're looking for in innovation, profits, etc., is achieved by training the people that they already have. And the way that you train the people that already have is by being mindful or aware of the culture that people are currently operating from or within. Because culture is like the invisible hand that controls performance. Mm-hmm. So usually human beings are, in some degree, most people can agree, right, that we're very tribal. Like, we like arguments. We love to argue, and we love to have our opinion, particularly in this side of the world, right? And so we sabotage ourselves. We sabotage the opportunity that the company is, not because we are not committed. It's because we don't have tools to be inclusive. We don't have those tools because what uses me, my blueprint, what uses me is freedom. What uses me is profits, right? So when I'm able to work with the team or with able to work with the team leader or a business owner, I help them to see. If you want to elevate the performance of the organization, everybody, we need to connect them to the mission of the company itself. What are they? Why did the company started in the first place? What are they actually committed to? And for the most part, I mean, at least with every company I work with, there is a genuine heart or purpose at the heart of the company. There's a genuine purpose. But no one is talking about it because everybody's dealing with their fires, you know, their daily fires. I'm dealing with this, and this one happened, this is what the customer said, this is the complaint, this is what I need to protect myself. And now with all the issues in the world of diversity, now everybody's walking on eggshells. Mm-hmm. So the heart of the organization is not even part of the conversation. So people are defensive in some degree. and they are walking out with a magnifying glass, like who made a mistake, who said what, who did this, and so that creates a culture of eggshells walking, not a culture of I'm leaving my self-expression. So in the training that I do in the teams, I support people in recognizing those fears, recognizing those threats, and then connecting them to their mission, and then finally connecting them to the standards that would allow, that would create the space for the profits that they're after, right? For the impact that they're after. Ultimately, I know that if I get hired, it's because people are looking for profits, right? So it's all connected to the bottom line of a company. And when I work with people, I love what happens. It's just because when people commit, when people can see their humanity, have compassion for it, and connect to a purpose, the standards elevate real quickly. And those folks who don't like to be part of the organization, they usually just move on without having to fire them or look for excuses. They just move on because they're not part of the mission anyway.
So talk about a little bit about this transformation process that the leadership and the team, the people of the community go through after this training in terms of how they really begin to buy into the mission, this whole, I guess you can say, mental and cultural transformation process.
Yes. So I'm going to talk about it in a kind of a 30,000 view, right? We're going to overgeneralize things, right? However, if I could start someplace, I would start this way. Usually get the team together, right? The people who are stakeholders, right? The people who are, as many people as I can, I put them in a room. And then I have a session on helping people recognize, or like I like to say, discover for themselves that the biggest barrier to high performance is guilt and shame. So we have this conversation around that, and we start looking at, well, inside of a kind of an interactive session, we start looking at, well, what is it that I do when I feel ashamed of something? Or what is it that I do when I feel like somebody is blaming me for something, right? What is it that we do? So people start saying, well, when I feel blame, I start defending myself. I start attacking. I start lying. I start hiding, right? And so that's those are just human beings' emotions. Those are reactions of human beings, not bad people, right? When I hide, I'm not a bad person. It's just what people do when they are in a conversation, when they are in a place of feeling ashamed or feeling guilt. So then we go into this conversation of recognizing, well, this is what we do inside of a team. When things don't go our way, what do? We hide, right? We attack, we blame, we have guilt, right? So the conversation that we're about to have is that we're going to take away our guilt and we're going to take our shame out of the conversation. Whatever we say here in this interaction, it's not from a place of blaming anybody or having you to defend anything. It's just human beings being human beings, right? And so for the most part, people get it and people are enthusiastic about having an authentic conversation. And so it allows people to say what they don't normally say. Mm-hmm. So when people say what they don't normally say, at the level of their brain, right? At the level of the limbic system, it relaxes because that which was a threat before, it no longer is a threat because I gave voice to it. And usually what happens in a room where there's people, what I give voice to that I was kind of afraid to, it usually was there for everybody else. So when somebody says that, everybody says, oh, thank God they said that, right? Like, oh my God.
Yes.
Like, you know, like some, like things that are in some degree at the level of corporations or businesses, in some degree that are kind of controversial. Like a man will say, well, I'm afraid now to walk because I think I have to like watch my back everywhere, right? And you know they're saying, as they're saying it, they're afraid. Like the white man will say, well, I'm kind of afraid now because I don't even want to mention it. I might trespass the boundary here, right? And so I, as a facilitator, I say, okay, well, if you take our guilt and shame from you and you blaming or guilting anybody else, what are the emotions that you feel? So then we put the emotions on the board. So now everybody feels related, right? Or the African-American man who says X, or the Hispanic man who says anything, right? They all get to say what they normally don't say. And then when we put all of those things on the board, then I say, would it be safe to say that all of those emotions are human beings' emotions, or particular of some of a race, or particularly of somebody? And so they get to see that all of those things are human beings' emotions, right? So they're all fine. We don't make them wrong. We don't want to change them. We don't want to do any of those sort of things. We just want to recognize that they're there. And so what happens in that team when you do that exercise is that people begin to develop a kind of an empathetic view for each other. And so they give themselves some room for their humanity. And when that happens, we begin to elevate performance. Because now they're committed to something else. They're committed to the team. They develop loyalty for that company. So that's kind of like a 30,000 view of where we start. And then we go into connecting into the mission. It's critical that people know why they're there and connect at the heart of it. So we start working on that. Then we create standards for performance. And so I support teams to develop themselves around their own word. Like a high-performing team has a powerful relationship with their word, with what they say. So I want people to allow themselves to reinvent themselves on their promises, not on their emotions. And so when I reinvent myself on my promise, if I have a headache, for example, right? I have a migraine, right? Some people develop migraines and they're real. It really stops them, right? But if I'm reinventing myself on my promise, I'm going to make sure I send an email. I'm going to make sure I'm going to communicate with someone. I'm not just going to drop the ball. And so we got to create that structure of high performance. So anyway, thank you for your generosity. You're like amazingly listening to me. So that's a good view on how we create transformation in a cultural environment to be in teams.
I really, it's very interesting to hear about that process, you know, in terms of how you get people to see the humanity in each other, right? First, and to realize that all of us have emotions, you know, and that we have to create an environment where people know that each of us is a person with emotions. And then after we can recognize that and then buy into the purpose of the institution or organization for which we work for, and then move on to say, hey, I'm going to operate. I understand my mission at this organization, and I'm going to operate with certain standards to make sure that I meet the expectations, my own expectations, but the expectations of the team. That's a very powerful process, you know.
It's powerful. What we do for companies, their results are amazing. And it's not amazing because I'm a facilitator, I'm really good. It's because when people connect to their humanity and they give room to it, and then they connect to a purpose, a mission, they are going to be the ones who create the structures for high performance, mm-hmm. and they honor it. And then they just expand, their businesses grow. Unless people are fed up completely, they can't wait to leave the organization, intervention, if you will, that kind of workshop, usually, I mean, I don't have an occasion where I went to an organization and we didn't create a transformational shift. But I imagine that it's only when people cannot wait to go home, like they have too many things incomplete, that process would not create a transformation. It would not create a breakthrough.
Yeah, well, thank you for sharing. You know, I'm finding it very interesting in terms of, I have a similar process with one of my workshops, which I call Sin Fronteras, Without Borders, in Spanish. And basically, it's on building multiracial and multicultural partnerships and coalitions. And we have a conversation on humanity about how did we come up with these ideas about different racial ethnic groups, and how does that affect the way we operate? And once we have that, it's very difficult to have that conversation initially because everybody's scared to say what they think. But then once we start having the conversation, then like you said, everybody kind of releases. So I find it very interesting how we start at that level, you know, to recognize the humanity of others before we can even get to the strategies for the organization. You have to deal with people on the people.
You have to deal with that. Uh-huh. And at the level of neuroscience, I'm a big student of neuroscience, right? So at the level of neuroscience, we want to calm the limbic system, right? Because people defend themselves, right, based on the data that they are gathering and the conclusions that they have. And it's all stored if it's emotional, it's all stored at the limbic system. So when they talk about it, then it relaxes. And then the thinking brain starts showing up, right? Mm-hmm. And so when we can make that transition, we're a good highway. It's a good place.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that information about your business Mindful Performance Blueprint. If anybody wants to contact you to have you to do some of these workshops or seminars for them, how would they get in contact with you?
Yeah, or just a strategic session, it's fine. We can have I always have a complimentary strategic session. Usually within 15 minutes, we can get a sense of where the team needs some support. And so we'll be delighted to have the opportunity to support their teams.
And so go ahead.
The way to contact me, right, I'm going to give you my phone number, but also I'm going to give you our work for number, but also our website, right? So our phone number is 678-653-2065. And my website is www.mformindful.com/P for performance and B for blueprint, MPB.group. And so all the information is there. And then on social media, just my name, Giovanni Gonzalez, will usually find you, right? Or Coach Giovanni Gonzalez, or you will find me easily.
And that's Gonzalez with a Z.
Gonzalez with a Z, yes.
With the final moments that we have in your interview, can you tell us a little bit about your book, La Mente de un Inmigrante? I have an audience who reads and just want to hear more about your memoirs and about that book.
Yes, that book actually happened because of my skydiving accident. So after the accident, I broke like 14 bones in my leg, and you know, it just didn't go well, right? And so I have like 16 screws, and they put my leg back in some way. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it kind of happened that way. So I wasn't able to walk for about 6 months, and I wasn't able to work either for a little while. So I started losing my money and some of the houses. And it was a transition, right? A powerful transition. But I kept on asking myself, what can I do now that I couldn't do before? You know, when you ask yourself powerful questions, you get powerful answers, right? So what can I do now that I couldn't do before? And I had this journal. And I've always been kind of filling out a journal. So I went back to my journal and I made it in the context of a book. And so I wrote it in a kind of language that my son could read it. Because my son was, at the time when I had the accident, my son was 2 and I almost died. And he would have never met his father if I would have died, really. So I create 10 steps on how to transform your life. 10 critical steps on how to take your life to the next level. And so I wrote it at the time when I was losing everything. However, financially, right? And I was in an emotional and difficult place, physically, emotionally, and financially. But I knew I had these foundations. So I was clear that I was going to get on the other side anyway. So I wrote those 10 foundations on that book that supports people to get to wherever they are, to the next level. So that's what the book is about, 10 foundations to take your life to the next level.
I look forward to reading it, and maybe I can have you back to discuss it in detail.
I would love that, Ramon. I would love that.
Well, it's a pleasure having you as my guest today, Giovanni Gonzalez of Mindful Performance Blueprint. Thank you so much for being my guest today.
You're welcome.
Today, I have as my guest, Giovanni Gonzalez, who was born in Colombia, lived in Belize, and now he resides in Atlanta, Georgia. And he is founder and chief executive officer of Mindful Performance Blueprint. And so we're excited to have him also because he's also creator of Access the Leader Within, which is a 3-day leadership retreat. And he's going to give us his one piece of advice for college success. Hi, Giovanni. Could you tell us where you attended school, what your majors were, and what one piece of advice or what one strategy you would give to an aspiring or current college student?
Yes, thank you for having me. And I love this question. So I went to Kennesaw State University in Georgia, and my major was international affairs with the concentration in international business. And I took a significant number of classes on psychology as well, by the way. And then later on in life, I was traveling, I did my master's in the science of management and leadership through the Jack Welch School of Strayer University. And so that was a lot of fun as well. And I think that the piece of advice that make a profound difference for me, and I want to kind of say it this way. Don't be too significant about what you're worried about. You know, in the long-term vision that you have for your life, what you're worried about now is not what you're going to worry about later. You know, the small things. And what changed my grades, I want to tell you what changed my grades, was that I took 10 minutes before class to read what I did the time before, the class before. And then right after class, I took another 10 minutes to read all the notes that I took while I was in class. So I'm going to say it again. Before class, you take 10 minutes to read the notes that you took from the previous class. And then right after you finish class, you give yourself 10 minutes to read all the notes that you took on that class. So that way, and we're talking about the same subject, that way you're not struggling to study the whole year when the tests come. So I didn't think that was useful for me. I didn't think that was going to make a difference. However, when I started doing it, I went from somebody who was just surviving to someone who had AIDS. But I didn't know how simple it was. So studying is a real simple thing. The one last thing I wanted to say that made a huge difference for me, Ramona, is that quote from Albert Einstein. And he says, "I'm not a genius. I just have a passion for curiosity." And I knew for myself that I could be curious. I don't know about my gray matter, but I can be curious. And so when I took on being curious, my whole college life changed, and the rest of my life really changed just on being curious about life and about my subject, etc. So that's my piece of advice, Ramona.
I love that advice. Study, but you have a certain methodology of study. I've never heard that particular methodology, and I like it. and also being continue to stay curious, because once you're studying for yourself and your own curiosity, memorization really doesn't become an issue, does it? Because you're actually learning for your own benefit. Well, thank you so much for that advice. And I hope you college students who are listening or aspiring college students are inspired by this advice. Thank you, Giovanni.
Thank you, Ramona.
A special thank you to the incredible team of the Empowerment Zone. Terry Ungully, theme song, NADWORKS, digital support, and of course, our featured guest.
If you enjoyed my podcast, please subscribe. We are on all of your favorite podcast platforms. Be sure to rate us on Apple Podcasts too. Thank you for your continued support.